Pop Spotting 160.
Friday, November 4th, 2011. Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Feedback Friday.
That's right. Aloha Friday, Feedback Friday, where you folks take the wheel. And today we're going to be driving through some fantasy and horror television. And we are going to turn the radio up and have a little more fun with cover songs. Let's start, though, with television. And our brief review of Once Upon a Time on ABC. Carrie in St. Louis on Facebook writes, I loved Once Upon a Time. It was like Lost had a baby with Disney. I loved the prince. So a big fan there, I guess, of Joshua Dallas, the actor who played the prince. I had to look him up because I didn't recognize him at all. And it turns out he had a role on Hawaii Five-0. He was kind of the handsome hippie surfer dude who Kono got to kiss in the first season. But apparently he's got a pretty good background. He was with the Royal Shakespeare Company at one point. He was also Thor, or at least, no, he was in the movie Thor. He played a character named Fandral, but I don't know anything about it. But yes, Lost had a baby with Disney. That's a pretty apt comparison there.
Nicole in Ohio writes on Twitter and Facebook, really not a fan of horror, so I'm skipping American Horror Story and possibly Grimm, but I love the pilot of Once Upon a Time. My favorite of the new shows. Can't wait to see what they do with the story, especially the flashbacks. I have a hard time seeing the story go more than one season, although I might have said the same thing after the pilot of Lost.
Well, so a fan of Once Upon a Time, I would say, you know, if you're not a fan of horror, American Horror Story, that might be an easy
skip. That's definitely out.
Yeah, but Grimm, I think it's worth watching. It is, there is some scare to it, but there's so much more. I think it's a very accessible show.
The humor and charm really goes a long way on this show, and I think you'll find something about it to be entertained with, even though you might potentially be off-put by the horror element.
And of course, we're saying this also only seeing the pilot, but it was a very strong pilot, so I'd make that same recommendation. As for Once Upon a Time, I mean, I guess I can see many people making those Lost comparisons. I think that they've got a large amount of material they can work with and do variations on, but it wasn't a show that knocked us out. And I am curious where they go with it. I thought it was interesting that Nicole liked the flashbacks, whereas we said that the contemporary story was more interesting to us. Well, Cheryl in LA on Facebook writes, I wasn't overly impressed with Once Upon a Time, but I will give it a couple more weeks for sure. The conflict between the adoptive and birth mothers looks somewhat promising, but the rest for me, meh. Although I do love that Once is filmed locally in Vancouver, as is Fringe and so many others. And yes, Cheryl, I'm very proud of Vancouver. And in addition to Fringe, it is called, you know, Hollywood North for a reason. They filmed X-Files there. I kind of got that sense from what we saw on TV. Smallville, Supernatural, Psych did some scenes. The Secret Circle, which we talked about from Comic-Con. And they also filmed there a incredibly popular mainstream series of motion pictures about very good-looking vampires.
Well, I've long been fascinated by the Pacific Northwest. I really love rain and cold, so I really think that's kind of the region for me. You mentioned on Tuesday that Grimm is shot in Portland, and it does look beautiful, and Portland is certainly on our short list of cities to visit.
Yeah, I mean, a good friend of ours, Nate, lives there with our friend Jamie. We connected those two as young lovebirds, and I've been up there. I think it's great, and I do think that the location and the energy and the light and everything does add a lot to the look of both of these shows, and Grimm in particular. I just can't get over the cinematography in that show. It was funny, I was Googling around to find out more about Vancouver and what goes on over there, and there's actually a onlocationstourvancouver.com website. They're OLTV on Twitter, and they've actually been kind of stalking the set and taking pictures of them filming Once Upon a Time. It's pretty interesting if you want to see that kind of stuff, so check out those sites.
David G. in Arizona writes on Facebook, Once Upon a Time reminded me of Lost a lot. The flashbacks, the close-up shots of the eye, even the evil queen lived in apartment 108. I choose to look at them as shout-outs. However, I feel that they will rely on the flashbacks just as much here. I love American Horror Story, by the way. Ryan Murphy returns to his damaged characters like he had on Nip Tuck, only this time it's scarier and even more damaged. It's like watching a car wreck. I don't feel good after seeing it, but I am curious as to what happened. happens afterward.
Well, thanks for that, David. And yes, you know, I like that. I'm watching it even though I don't feel good afterward. I think that's what we're struggling with the American Horror Story. I'm glad it's on TV. I'm sure it's perfect for somebody, but it might not be perfect for us. As for Once Upon a Time, yes, the lost connections are not accidental. I'm just worried. I mean, I hope they don't rely on them too much. The flashbacks are inevitable, but I do hope they keep a balance in the story. And like everyone else, we're certainly going to keep watching to see where it might go. Cassie in Seattle writes on Facebook, just saw the pilot of Once Upon a Time. I loved it. Just beautiful. Lana Perilla, the evil queen, played one of the girls in the submerged station in Through the Looking Glass on Lost.
Greta.
That's right. I saw that episode just today and thought of the evil queen beating up on Charlie. Also, though on demand, I saw episode 1 of American Horror Story, and I'm hooked. I do have to get caught up here. I did record Grimm as well as Chuck. Yay, Chuck! And, well, maybe a tangent. How did you like at least that first episode of Chuck, where we have a slightly different setup in terms of who all of these characters work for and who is the intersect on that show?
I was really dissatisfied with the season finale, but they did change things up in a really interesting way toward the end of the season premiere, so I think I'm back on the train.
Yeah, I think it did redeem itself. They laid enough of the groundwork for the overall arc of the season. Again, this might be the last season of Chuck, but we saw all the characters we wanted to see right at the moment. You're saying, where's Jeffster? Mm-hmm. Jeffster shows up, and while many shows generally suffer when the will they or won't they romantic tension turns into marriage, I do think that Chuck and Sarah are doing a pretty good job, and I really like her new haircut. So
you do?
We're sticking. Yeah.
It's mom hair.
Well, maybe that's my taste. What do you think? You might actually want that to be the case. Let's move on here to a comment we received on Twitter.
Glides and Chimes in Ireland writes on Twitter, for your next Friday recommendations, check out the BBC's ongoing 6-part series, The Fades. Hmm. It's Buffy-esque, but darker and gorier. The standout, Daniel Kaluuya. He's amazing in what should be the cliche role of sidekick slash geek. It's co-produced with BBC America, so it should be in the U.S. soon.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't heard about this show. Are you familiar with it
at
all?
I had never heard of it before.
But I mean, Buffy-esque, darker and gorier, certainly a good sales pitch. BBC, 6 parts, you know, very digestible and quality stuff coming out from across the pond. So I'm going to have to check it out. I'm going to have to watch for Daniel Kaluuya. Although, I don't know. I mean, we might have to find some alternative means to pick up that show.
Right.
Let's move on to Pete on Facebook, who writes, I'm watching Sons of Anarchy via Netflix streaming. I'm only getting started, so there are probably character developments I'm not aware of, but did anyone get a Lady Macbeth sort of vibe from Gemma in the pilot when she was discussing which father's footsteps she wanted Jax to follow in? And man, Ron Perlman is one rough-looking SOB. No wonder he's usually covered with prosthetics. His looks serve him well on Sons of Anarchy, though. Something else I caught? In the season 1 finale, Revelator of Sons of Anarchy, Jax sleeps overnight on the steps of a crypt with the family name Patmos. The author of the biblical book of Revelation was John of Patmos, aka John the Revelator, which is actually the title of the gospel song which played over the final scenes. Now, with his posthumously discovered manuscript, John Teller is also John the Revelator as relates to Piney and Jack. Really enjoying the show. Thanks for the recommendation.
One of the reasons I love the show is that it is so literate and there are so many shout outs to certain things like that. Pete makes reference to prosthetics. Ron Perlman was on the 80s TV show Beauty and the Beast, and he was also Hellboy in the movie series.
So now we get to see him in all his natural beauty. But yes, I love Sons of Anarchy. There's no accident that you're picking up Shakespearean influences and other things. It's a fantastic show. I do really, really like this current season as it's unfolding. I should also mention it's been kind of in part of this big drama going out in the business world where Kurt Sutter, the creator of Sons of Anarchy, mm-hmm. is getting directly involved in the battle between Fox and an FX with DirecTV, the satellite TV provider.
Right.
And there all that thing about, you know, they aren't paying enough or they want to raise the price and so we're going to cut off your access to these shows and these channels. And it's funny because Kurt Sutter is not a diplomat. So you know, just about a week ago on Twitter, he was just ranting and swearing and yelling. And he's saying, I'm going to hit everybody where it hurts. The bottom line, I will pirate my own shows. I will put it out in BitTorrent. I will release stuff that won't even make it onto TV. You know, he was just really, really mad. So he's not a guy that you're going to want to have angry at you for sure.
No.
Well, fortunately, the folks behind American Horror Story jumped on his side as well. So at least these FX artists, these creators of the shows are speaking out. Let's wrap up our TV talk with a voicemail from our friend Anna in Switzerland.
Hi, Ryan and Jen. This is Anna from Switzerland. I am calling in to leave some feedback on The West Wing. I did not watch the show back when it was first aired, but, you know, I was still too young and did not watch American TV back then. But I just started to watch season one and I love it. I'm hooked. I love the characters. I love, you know, to be able to look behind the scenes. I'm very interested in politics, and I know that this is not, you know, the real life, but still, it is super interesting. The actors are brilliant, of course, and, you know, it's funny, and it's, I think, sometimes very hard to follow as well. I might just be because I'm, you know, not a native English speaker, but it's super interesting, really, and I'm learning a lot and I enjoy it tremendously. And I even love it so much that I started a podcast about it called The West Wing Podcast, and I do it with a dear friend of mine who is Maggie Mac, who has watched the show many times and loves it. So we're doing this podcast, and I have to say I am really enjoying the show. I'm sad that I did not catch it when it was first aired, but super excited about it right now. That is all from Switzerland. I love your show, and I will of course continue to listen. Bye-bye.
Hey, Anna, great to hear from you again, and congratulations on starting another podcast here, the West Wing Podcast. We've talked recently about our love of Aaron Sorkin. I think that people should really get into Sports Night. I think one of his unknown gems or lesser-known gems, but it's the West Wing that made him really famous, that people know him the most for. Were you a fan of the West Wing?
I watched it, but I didn't follow it. I always meant to, but I think a lot of the time NBC ran it on strange days and strange times, so I didn't really keep up with it, and I hope to catch up with it eventually.
Well, I mean, this podcast might be one way to do that. It ran on NBC from 1999 to 2005, and I should note that Aaron Sorkin did leave after season 4, and I will be curious, for example, if Anna can notice or picks up or makes comment on if anything changes as a result. But the show was very popular. 26 Emmy Awards and a really, really good cast. A lot of familiar names. I mean, Allison Janney, who we loved, Kristen Chenoweth, who we loved, Dulé Hill, who we loved, and of course Martin Sheen, Rob Lowe, Alan Alda, Moira Kelly, Stockard Channing. It was a great cast, probably my first introduction or immersion into a ensemble show, and I think everybody on The West Wing was fantastic, not just the writing and the stories, for sure.
One of my favorite character actors, John Spencer, played Leo McGarry, and a really strange thing was that Leo McGarry suffered a heart attack on the show about a year and a half before John Spencer died of a heart attack in 2005.
Yeah, I mean, that was tough. It was a little too much, you know, life imitating art there. I also remember, I think right around the time I stopped watching the show was when 9/11 happened in 2001, mm-hmm. and it was hard to get your mindset into this fictional White House when everybody was really focused on the reality of politics and leadership in this country. They did do a special episode of The West Wing for 9/11. They pulled it together in 9 days. It was a Herculean effort, and actually I don't remember it being all that good, but I do give Aaron Sorkin credit for at least trying to say something or do something. Mm-hmm. Right when everyone was still trying to figure out how Hollywood was going to respond to the tragedy. But we're way ahead of ourselves. If you want to get into the West Wing, you might want to check out the West Wing Podcast with Maggie Mac and Anna from Switzerland. And I think we're going to have Maggie on the show in the near future.
Yeah.
Let's move on then to music and covers. We'll start with Cheryl on Facebook, who says, I don't follow music anywhere near as close as others, but a fabulous covers album is a tribute to Joni Mitchell, especially Prince's entry, A Cover of A Case of You. It's stunning.
It is stunning. I think A Case of You is a beautiful song, but there's something about Joni Mitchell's vocal delivery on pretty much all of her stuff that makes me sort of want to go to sleep. And I think Prince's cover really transforms it from a simple love song into this just beautiful, lushly orchestrated slow dance number.
Wow, I like it. Well, also on this tribute album, you've got Sarah McLachlan doing Blue, Katie Lang doing Help Me. There are performances by Emmylou Harris, Annie Lennox, Elvis Costello, and James Taylor. But let's listen to that track that Cheryl's talking about, A Case of You, a cover of Joni Mitchell by Prince.
Remember you told me love was touching soul. Sure, you touch mine. Part of you pours out of me from time to time. These lines, you're in my bloodline, holy wine. You're so bitter,
so bitter,
so, so sweet. Oh,
I could dream.
It is great. It is a really sensual, good slow dance song. I think we're going to have to do some slow dancing soon. I want to hear more music. Let's hear another pick. We've got Al Ross, who writes on Facebook. Here's an interesting cover, Pink Floyd's Wish You Were Here, covered by Wyclef Jean.
Swimming in a fishbowl, year after year, running over the same old ground. What have we found? The same old fear. Wish you were here.
Yeah.
Oh, oh, oh.
Whether you're listening to rock.
So what'd you think of that cover there?
I think I liked it until he started rapping.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic song. I like that he incorporates the guitar riff of the original, and it starts off with that, actually, and it builds into something else. I think that Wyclef Jean's a great singer. I also agree, though. I don't know if rap has a place in that specific set of lyrics.
I think that guitar riff is one of the best guitar riffs of all time, and this is really my favorite Pink Floyd song.
So still, thanks, Al, for sharing that take. We are about hearing different things, and I want to hear one more. Let's get to Jeff on Facebook, who writes, some of my favorite covers are by two groups, Carmen and Pomplemousse, but a favorite is Alison Krauss and Union Station's cover of James Taylor's Carolina in My Mind. So let's have a listen to that.
Carolina in
gorgeous. The original is very mellow and really driven by the acoustic guitar, but I love the twang that Alison Krauss brings to it.
That was a great share, a neat find, and I could only see it on the YouTube link that Jeff sent along, so I appreciate that. I also wanted to share that Jeff wanted to tell everybody about a special album that AT&T did. Yes, the phone company of all people. They did a fundraiser back in 1999 for the Walden Foundation, and they did a promo CD that they sent out to certain customers of jazz blues covers called Stormy Weather. And you can look for it on Amazon. You can only pick it up used. It's not easy to find, but I like some of these selections. Of course, my good friend Bjork is there. They've got Natalie Cole, Sheryl Crow, and they have Stevie Nicks doing a cover of one of our favorite songs, At Last.
I'm curious to see what she does with it.
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of good reviews from Stevie Nicks fans, but I'm also very fond of the original for At Last. Before we go, one last comment from the blog on covers. We heard from Stevel, who shared some of his favorite covers as well, and he just put in a list. I'm just going to list a few of these. We've got Come On, Feel the Noise by Bran Van 3000. We've got Higher Ground by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We've got Do You Think I'm Sexy by the Revolting Cox. Mm-hmm. And we've got Too Drunk to Frack by Nouvelle Vague, stuff by Gnarls Barkley, Devo, Anthrax. Anything on Stevel's list that stand out to you?
I grew up to Bang a Gong by The Power Station.
Yeah, that's a good pick. We've got Weezer, Please Let Me Get What I Want, and Nirvana doing The Man Who Sold the World. This is a pretty good list. Stevel goes on to say that these are the ones that typically end up in my playlists, along with the Dolly Parton cover of Stairway that was already mentioned. Nouvelle Vague has a ton of brilliant covers. I also quite like their version of Blue Monday and I Melt With You. You can also find bluegrass covers of just about anything. I haven't found one that I liked yet, though. Thanks for the show. I've been a fan since the transmission, and I look forward to your reviews, especially the Wildcard Wednesdays.
Oh, thanks.
Well, thanks for that, Stevel. Again, a great list, and thanks for the feedback from everybody, which, as we always say, is the fuel that keeps us going. Whether you agree or disagree with our reviews of movies, music, books, apps, websites, we do want to hear from you. And we especially want to hear from you if you've got a suggestion for the shows that Steve-O likes, and that's Wildcard Wednesday.
You can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808. You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net, or you can comment on our blog at popspotting.net.
You can also post your thoughts and ideas on the Pop Spotting page on Facebook at facebook.com/popspotting. That's where other listeners can see your comments and start a conversation there as well.
You can connect with us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting. Twitter.com/Hawaii and Twitter.com/Mrs. Hawaii.
Now, if you like podcasts as much as we do, we know it's sometimes hard to keep up with them all, and syncing files can certainly be a pain. Fortunately, there's Stitcher Smart Radio. It's a free app for iPhone, Android, and other smartphones that lets you easily stream the latest episodes of your favorite podcasts, including Pop Spotting.
We'll be back after our week break. It's Ryan's birthday week with more Pop Talk. For now, we want to thank Dan Pashman of The Sportful for our theme song.
And we want to thank you all for listening to our show. For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Jen.
Aloha.